Log Talk Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Saul Rubinek, one of the stars of sci-fi's breakout hit, Warehouse 13, which returns July 6 for its second season. Stick around.
Micah has learned to kind of roll with the punches a little bit more. And then I would tell you that Pete has been influenced by her and has become more, a little more together, but no.
Did you find anything?
I sure did. Issue 112. The government orders all superheroes to reveal their secret identities, but the Iron Shadow removes his mask for no man. So the feds send out...
I'm with her case.
Oh. No.
Warehouse 13. Season premiere Tuesday, July 6th at 9. Only on Sci-Fi. Imagine greater.
So much media. So little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com, brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, a year ago, I invited actor Saul Rubinek to be a guest on the show, not because he was one of the leads on a new sci-fi network show called Warehouse 13. Who knew what the hell that would be about? But because he was Saul Rubinek, actor and writer. This year, make no mistake, I want to talk to him about Warehouse 13. Last year, Warehouse 13 was the show Sci-Fi pinned its hopes and aspirations upon as it changed the spelling of its network name from the familiar SCIFI to the bizarre and off-putting SYFY. Funny how nobody's talking about the network's spelling anymore, just about its remarkable shows, Warehouse 13, which returns for its second season on Tuesday, July 6th at 9 p.m., and Eureka, which rejoins the action on Friday, July 9th at 9 p.m. Even cooler, these two shows will cross over later this season. What could be cooler than that? Only if both shows crossed over with another NBC Universal genre property when it returns in the fall. Chuck. Anyway, Saul Rubinek, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thanks. I don't think you'll see us on Chuck.
A man can dream.
You can dream.
I can dream. Now, listen, I don't know how to break this to you, my friend, but everybody thinks your character is dead.
What? Oh, my God, what am I doing on this interview show?
I'm wondering that myself, my friend.
It's a sci-fi show. It's a fantasy adventure show, so I guess it's no secret that Artie's coming back. But since it's Warehouse 13, you got to ask yourself, in what form am I coming back? And what are the consequences of me coming back?
I suspect maybe you've jammed yourself into one of those nifty video telephones, and we'll only see you there.
I'm not sure. But we do know that there will be consequences for any kind of resurrection. Hmm. It was a cliffhanger, and there really wasn't much doubt, I guess, at a certain point that I was coming back because it got blogged and leaked in a lot of ways. But it's really been interesting to see how the writers have dealt with it. Very interesting, and they'll know. They'll find out a week from tomorrow.
Mm. Well, I did notice that...
they'll find out some of it, not all of it.
Well, I noticed that Artie is not in any of the second series previews or trailers on the sci-fi site to try to keep the mystery alive a little longer.
I think so. I think that's the reason, yeah.
Mm. Now, I want to ask you, it took Warehouse 13 a couple of episodes to get its mojo going after the pilot. The pilot was brilliant, and then it just kind of seemed like maybe the writers were kind of finding their way. But then... when it did, I mean, the show absolutely became must-see TV.
Well, we're lucky. You know, every network tries to create a show that's going to be a hit show, and certainly every production team wants their show to be the hit show of the network. It's rare that those aspirations become reality. You know, as you said in your introduction, a lot of people stopped laughing about the spelling of SYFY and have just started looking at the shows that are created. Mm-hmm. What they needed to do, what their mandate was to create a broader audience for the Sci-Fi Network. And in order to do that, they wanted to not lose their core audience of science fiction fans that like space and aliens, and they certainly have created some of the best shows in the history of television, like Battlestar Galactica, that, you know, had space and aliens in it. But they wanted to broaden the appeal. In order to do that, they wanted to attract women because their core audience was men, even though there are a lot of science fiction fans out there that are women. They wanted to broaden that audience. And the way to attract women, they figured, and they figured right, was to make the shows wittier, to make them more intelligent, the scripts relationship-based, rather than action-based. And they did that with Warehouse 13, and they rebranded their network the same day that we premiered.
Right.
And people didn't just show up. They showed up in droves. What women did was they brought their families with them, and the families stayed, and they'd feel talked down to. And they had, there's enough in it for the whole family, which is a hard act to do because, you know, you can create pablum by trying to create stuff for everyone. You can create stuff that has no interest for anyone if you try to appeal to too many people. But the writers were very inspired here. And you're right, it takes a while for a show to catch on. And the truth was, the writers got tired of me saying last year, the minute that they figure out the formula for Warehouse 13, that'll be our death knell. It's not so much that they figured out the formula. There isn't one. Every episode's different from every other episode. It's that they caught the tone of the show,
right?
Which was a tightrope walk between suspense and humor. The fact that they cast it right, because we're all, there's a great chemistry with the four of us that are regulars on the show. It's attracted brilliant, wonderful guest stars this year. And as a result, we're very popular. And it's just one of those lightning strikes in a bottle that people hope for and don't often get, and we kind of feel blessed. And this second season, I can tell you, is more spectacular, more interesting, and wildly imaginative. It's a great show.
Well,
really,
so
really fun to do.
Before we run out of time, I have to ask you, and in our case, Warehouse 13 introduced my family to Eureka. You got a big crossover coming with that. Is there anything you can tell us about that?
You know, it's a double episode in a way, because Eureka crosses over to us. Sci-Fi has decided very cleverly that we're in the same universe as the Eureka show. Mm-hmm. The same characters can come. We had some guest stars from Eureka on our show, but playing different characters from what they played in Eureka, just as actors. I also happened to be for Warehouse 13, was even something that I even heard about. I was in the first season of Eureka as a guest star. But the crossover means that the characters from Eureka are in our show, and we have our people are in their show. And so there's two episodes, one where one of their actors plays himself on our show, and one show where Alison Scagliotti, who plays Claudia on our show, goes over to their show. And we don't know much about, I mean, Alison kept pretty quiet about what her show was about on Eureka. And we can't wait to see it. It should be very interesting, given the fact that we're in the same universe. There might be more of that next year.
Should be a lot of fun. I don't know. I still think if there's room in that universe for the craziness of Eureka and Warehouse 13, the Intersect on Chuck has got to fit into that universe. That's just me, though. Where else would you find that,
all right,
that
well,
device? Well, listen.
That's true.
I have a lot more questions for you, but we're run out of time. Folks, you can catch the second season premiere of Warehouse 13 with Saul Rubinek on Tuesday, July 6th at 9 p.m. And to catch up on what you may have missed in Season 1 or to enjoy the magic all over again, you can order the Season 1 DVD on MrMedia.com. Saul, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming back on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot, man.
Best of wishes. Best wishes. All right, and folks, for more original interviews with your favorite TV and film stars, you can surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/MrMedia, that's Mr. Media, to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MrMedia for your free audiobook. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. And you can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter. It's twitter.com/andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Let's end with kind of a review of what happened at the end of Warehouse 13's Season 1. Bye, everybody.
Over the centuries, the Warehouse has resided in the most powerful empires in history, collecting and safeguarding dangerous artifacts. Charged with keeping the world safe from unexplained phenomena that threaten the natural order, there have been many warehouses. This is number 13. Warehouse agents are trained in the skill of artifact detection. They're hand-picked for their intellect, intuition, keen sense of observation, and scientific expertise. Together, we form a team. Our assignment, track down the things that threaten to ruin the world's day, then snag them, bag them, and tag them.
Previously on Warehouse 13.
Whoever stole the sword has other things that belong in the warehouse, which would mean that we have competition.
I wasn't here when everything went down between Artie and McPherson, but I know who that.
That's him. That's James McPherson?
Yeah. I know him.
He's Professor Reynolds, Joshua's physics professor.
His position at CERN. I should take it. It's once in a lifetime.
He's going to Switzerland?
Yeah.
Smashing atoms?
I want what you risked your lives to get.
He left your family.
Arthur Starkey.
What is that supposed to mean?
Ask him.
Why do you banish somebody from the warehouse anyway?
If McPherson could enter this warehouse, then his blood would turn acidic and immediately eat through his own veins. Indeed. The Phoenix.
For every life the Phoenix saves, others will be lost. Those who touch the Phoenix, they will be spared.
McPherson claims to have the Phoenix.
The Phoenix is in the warehouse.
I know.
It looks like Claudia was the last one to have access to the Phoenix.
I can get McPherson again.
I don't doubt it.
People saw an image different from the image of the person wearing it.
James McPherson, you're under arrest.
So we're never turning him into the government?
We'll put him in the bronze sector.
My veins will burst upon entering.
What are those? Crystalline diamonds with a trace of palladium.
Neutralizes the minerals in his blood.
Goodbye, James.
What we do is we flash freeze the bodies cryogenically, and we preserve them by bronzing.
Thank you for remembering our appointment.
Warehouse 13 premieres Tuesday, July 6 at 9, only on Sci-Fi.